This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2192. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, especially shortwave. On this edition, recorded May 25th, Algeria, Antarctica, Australia, Brazil, Bulgaria, Canada, China, Congo, Cuba, Ecuador, Egypt, Germany, Guam, Liberia, Netherlands, Oklahoma, Pakistan, Poland, Slovakia, Thailand, Turkey, UK, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Some more information about the new shortwave radio station for Africa from Algeria we've been reporting on via John Hode in the British DX Club. This came from the RadioReporter.org blog written by Fabrizio Carnevalini, inaugurated in Algiers on 3 May 2023 to coincide with World Press Freedom Day. Ifriqiya FM was created to give a voice to African listeners. Its slogan is The African Voice. Actually a strategy of rapprochement with the sub-Saharan area, supported by the relaunch of new air and sea lanes between Algeria and Senegal, a country with which diplomatic relations have been renewed. 24 hours in French and some other languages. It has a staff of young journalists from Algeria, Burundi, Chad, Lesotho, Mali, Cameroon, and Niger, as well as a network of correspondents in 9 African countries. I gave the schedule last week, but it continues to appear on some of those frequencies, 21550, 17600, 13790, 13590, 9470, among others. However, all is not well. I heard the last one, 9470, May 19th at 0503. It was up to S9, but just barely modulated. It must have been that, according to listings. And a more recent report, as of 25 May at 0505 UT, David Koenig, UK of Interval Signals Online, says, Ifriqiya FM with an announcement in English about special programming, maybe some in English, to mark the 60th anniversary of the founding of the African Union. Good reception via remote in Sardinia. From Antarctica, LRA 36 heard again on 15475, 0.98 reduced carrier USB, Saturday, May 20th. Manuel Mendes in Spain had it from 2003 UT, and I heard it at 2110 via remote in Argentina. But it did not appear on the following Wednesday, May 24th, as far as we know. In the NASA flash sheet, Rob Wagner in Victoria, Australia, reports on 5045 Bay Islands Radio from Russell Island at 10.05 UT on May 19th. Rock music favorites, occasional announcements. Operator Shannon Shuttleworth says he was testing at 120 watts AM with a homemade quarter-wave vertical with 12 radials, each 5 to 8 meters long and buried. The radiating element is attached to a long bamboo pole. The antenna was tuned to 35 ohms and matched to the 50-ohm coax with a 75-ohm stub coil about 15 meters long. Reports locally around Brisbane have been impressive, with local coverage improved by around 50%. Later monitoring that same evening showed the signal was much stronger. Walt Salmonid in BC reports on Radio Voz Missionaria, Brazil. Excellent reception, frequent IDs, and modern vocals. Using USB, avoid splatter from WWCR on 5935, as he heard it on 5940, between 0430 and 0505 UT, on May 23rd. And there are other frequencies. 11750 was poor at 0513, but 9665 was very good. He says, I'm always impressed how well this Brazilian gets out to Masset, BC. Of course, all three frequencies are slightly askew, but he does not give precise measurements. It's about an apparently unofficial Brazilian station heard on 4 different frequencies from Alanmur in Paraguay, where it has an enviable email address starting with Radio Paraguay. On May 24th, he says, I'm having excellent reception on 4 frequencies in parallel from Radio Casa, São Paulo Metropolitan Region, Brazil. Daytime on 8000 and 7455 are excellent, while understandable on 5900 and 4005. Radio Casa plays modern USA music and Portuguese announcements. None of these frequencies correspond to Brazil's HF broadcasting allocation, so we may categorize Radio Casa as unofficial. Alan Murad at Radio Casa identifies with the slogan A Casa Toca Muito Mais, and uma emissora do Grupo Linear Comunicações. On 8000, they've ID'd with a Brazilian prefix of ZYW685, which actually belongs to Rádio Gaurama, 91.9 FM in Gaurama, RGS. Programming and audio quality are highly professional. Excellent audio quality, sources being completely digital. I asked him which frequencies he was hearing at night, replying at 2245 past 23 UT, an excellent signal from Radio Casa on 4005, but the other three were silent. Earlier at 14 to 15 UT was when he was hearing all four frequencies at once. However, when I tried via Paraguayan remotes at 2340, nothing was to be heard on 4005. It may have gone off already. Walt Salmon of NBC has been trying for this, and he says, I have a barely audible signal on 7455, May 25th at 0450. Weak carries on other frequencies as well, but nowhere close to audio. In Rusty X, Viktor Chekanovich in Crimea reports on the official radio station Varna Radio Bulgaria, broadcasts in English and Bulgarian, a Black Sea coastal weather bulletin and navigational warnings at 0703 and 1903 UT. And at 1303, a sea weather fact sheet is broadcast. I wonder if that means facsimile. All is on 3740 USB. Was not hearing Trenton Military CHR on 15034 USB in the daytime, or 6754 at night, May 20th, 21st, and 22nd. It may have been because of degraded propagation, but I suspect it was actually not on the air. I was hearing it again, barely, on May 23rd at 15:33. No report received, of course, from Zagreb and Split. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard reports on 6035, PBS Yunnan, or in English, Yunnan Radio International. He says, I don't often report it, but it is heard daily, such as on May 19th. Tune in at 12:45 with Chinese talk. But at the top of the hour, readable IDs in Chinese, Vietnamese, and English, followed by a half an hour in Vietnamese, as is also on the air at 10 UT, otherwise Chinese. 13:30 again, the multi-language IDs, and back to Chinese. Poor receptionist says, but I'm happy to find they still use English IDs. Not to be confused with the minority service of PBS Yunnan on 7210. Manuel Menoth in Spain reports again on Radio Congo, Brazzaville, 6115. On May 20th, on the air at 0554, heard until 0607 with a strong carrier, but extremely weak audio, unreadable. Checking at the same time on May 21st, there was no signal, so Radio Congo was very irregularly on the air. Never know which extraneous frequency Radio Vanacuba will be running late at night. On May 20th and 25th, around 0620 UT, it was 12,200, the second harmonic at 6,100, and the harmonic is stronger than the fundamental. Something's always wrong at RHC. But on May 21st at 6:43, the extra frequency in English was 11,670. On May 22nd at 6:43, still on the air, was 11,760, but almost dead air. I think it may have been in English. Manuel Mendez in Spain reports on Ecuador, 6050, HCJB in Pichincha. Now, on weekdays, it signs off about 0230 UT, or a few minutes after, but on Saturdays and Sundays only, it's extended until 0500. So, on May 20th, he reports, comments about the regions of Ecuador with songs, flute music. The program was Ritmos y Canciones de Nuestra Tierra. Also heard on May 21st, until sign-off at 0500 with the same program. And the sign-off announcement before the national anthem said they would be back on the air at 4:25 a.m., that's 9:25 UT. From Egypt, Radio Cairo is usually missing from the English broadcast at 21:15, scheduled on 9440, such as when I checked on May 20th. However, Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight replies on the World of Radio Group. They were on the air the next day, May 21st, from 21:15, clear with good modulation. A news roundup followed by a feature on the anniversary of the establishment of the Egyptian Geographic Society. But it cut off abruptly at 21:38. He says the transmitter with a loud hum is now replaced by another unit from the 5th to 11th of May and from 17 May onwards. This third transmitter has a buzzing sound, but it is lower level and quite tolerable. provided they set the modulation level sufficiently high. I had emailed them requesting that this alternative transmitter be used from now on. Still a problem of many transmissions being off the air or cut off before they're finished. There might be a problem with the electrical grid. I note that previously the 9440 frequency was consistently 5 hertz on the low side according to monitoring by the Holland remote. So I wonder what the exact frequency of the new one is when 9440 is on. Super Typhoon Mawar hit island of Guam on May 24th, causing great concern in advance about the two shortwave stations there, KTWR and KSDA. Those Jacob in India was following what's going on there even before it hit, from DRM India WhatsApp group, for instance. KTWR said there will be no broadcast from KTWR tonight, May 23rd. It's locked down and the staff is sheltered due to the expected arrival of Typhoon Mawar. The other shortwave station from Guam, KSDA of AWR, was already not noted on the air. Also on May 24th, KTWR said it would be silent that night, so we tried monitoring both stations at various times on their scheduled frequencies. Note that KTWR was scheduled to be on the air only between 1000 and 1630 UT, while KSDA would be on the air between 2000 and midnight, and again from 1000 until 1830. On May 24th, Jones Jacob had this news from KTWR. The staff are safe. Max wind gust of 108 miles per hour at the weather station on one of the towers, getting the southern end of the storm. As of May 25th, KTWR will not be on the air tonight. Conditions too dangerous to work on antennas, says Mike Sabin. Note that according to WRTH, KSDA has 5 100 kilowatt transmitters, and KTWR 1 of 100 and 2 of 250 kilowatts. On May 25th, I checked at 1540 and found one KSDA frequency on the air, 15680, into a remote in Japan, a broadcast in the Kannada language to India, signing off in English at 1559, never mentioning their call letters. Meanwhile, KTWR was not to be heard on any of its scheduled frequencies. Not too far from the storm path are Tinian and Saipan in the northern Mariana Islands, where the USAGM has shortwave sites, as far as I could tell. Those are still operating normally. My regular band scans after 06 UT, I never hear anything on 6050. That is until May 23rd when there was something there at 0632. Presumably ELWA in Liberia, because Brian Clark had reported this from New Zealand. In English religious format, May 20th between 0625 and 0730. With a chime check at 07 UT for 7 o'clock, pointing to it being Liberia. Then on May 21st at 0555, he heard the old ELWA interval signal and announcements from 0558, presumed to be their old 1 kilowatt transmitter fixed up. Frequency varied slightly, plus or minus 2 or 3 hertz. It had been well off nominal frequency previously. Here's the interval signal he recorded, which might bring back memories of the good old days when ELWA had a much more powerful presence on shortwave. Then Manuel Mendoza in Spain replies, on May 20th at 1950, I heard on 6050, a weak signal with English religion, assumed ELWA, but eclipsed by VOA signing on 6045 at 2000. Radio Delta International Netherlands had been on 6020, but Manuel Mendoza in Spain reports it on 6060, May 20th, before and after 18 UT with songs in English and IDs. And Kari Kallio in Finland says they were testing new studio techniques today with an OptiMod unit. The media magazine you monitor with your mind. World of Radio 2192. A non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Voluntary financial support, very much appreciated. Thanks this week for a generous check from Steve Zimmerman of West Allis, Wisconsin, to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684. ENID OK 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Oklahoma City has a number of low-power TV stations, but we're too far away in Enid to pick them up normally, or only 15 kilowatts ERP, without some tropo enhancement. But I did run across the new one on radio frequency channel 34, identifying as 33. The main channel is HRTLND. That stands for Heartland. Its true call sign is KWRWLD, which during the few minutes I was seeing it was neither uttered nor shown. According to Cord Cutters News, it started on April 27th, owned by Digital Networks LLC, and of course along with it, about half a dozen other channels as well. I was getting it before and after 04UT on May 24th. The website is not heartlandtv.com, that's something else, but www.watchheartlandtv.com. Mike Cooper forwards a story from urdupoint.com, May 18th, Dateline Peshawar, Pakistan. Besides ransacking and putting on fire Radio Pakistan's historic building, a violent mob also damaged the digital record of its popular programs of the Afghan War 1979, after damaging its computers and electronic equipment. Burnt to ashes by the miscreants on May 10th. Visiting the Florida Keys, Richard Langley of New Brunswick says, while recording WRMI 5850 on 18 May, I captured Radio Poland's English broadcast starting at 22:30, also on 15770, but it's only the second half hour of the hour-long broadcast. It would be nice if they carried the whole hour. At the end of the broadcast, they mention they are carried by Radio Baltic Waves International, but not WRMI. Harold Sellers replies, WRMI has been airing Poland only on Mondays through Thursdays. Fortunately, since World of Radio is scheduled on the same times and frequencies Saturdays, 22:30 UT. Instead of an old program in English from Radio Slovakia International, I note that WRMI started broadcasting Spanish instead, presumably new editions, at 06:30 UT as of May 20th on 15770 and 7730. On UT Sunday, May 21st, there was no news but a musical corner and then a mailbag. Harold Sellers, outside Vernon, British Columbia, reports Radio Thailand on 9390. The 1200 UT English broadcast May 22nd continued past 1230 instead of switching to Vietnamese as scheduled. There was more Radio Thailand news at 1231 and a tourism program. Something's always erroneous at Emirlair. Voice of Turkey continues to be quite unreliable for its English broadcast to us at 22 UT on 11785. It was absent both on May 23rd and 24th. In our group, there's a long thread entitled, Why Has BBC Radio 4 Abandoned the Baby Boomers? Culminating with this, on May 23rd, first from Kim Elliott, referring to a story in The Guardian of May 23rd, Desert Island Discs to move to BBC's for-profit division in bid to make money. He says in the future, Desert Island Discs, along with other popular Radio 4 shows, such as Melvin Bragg's In Our Time, and The Life Scientific, will be made by the commercially focused BBC Studios, which aims to boost profits by attracting listeners around the world. John Filiozzi replies, great, so the creator and preserver of public service broadcasting has decided to abandon the message and join the commercial broadcasting sector that generally produces, well, bulldung. Congratulations to Britain's Conservative Party for another win, Brexit, and now this. You idiots are really on a roll, says John Filiozzi. George McClintock forwards this from Shauna Preble at the FCC. A sad loss for IHF and FCC. Dear friends and colleagues, it is with great sadness and heavy heart that I write to inform you that our beloved friend and colleague, Thomas Lucy, passed away on Tuesday, May 16th. Our hearts go out to his family and friends. He was a kind, thoughtful, and intelligent man. His memories will never be forgotten. Those will always remain with us forever. May his soul rest in peace. Tom Lucey, L-U-C-E-Y, was the person who dealt directly with U.S. shortwave stations. Attracting a lot of attention is an NPR story of May 21st by David Folkenflik, headlined, Federal Inquiry Details Abuses of Power by Trump's CEO over Voice of America. I suggest you read it in its entirety. Thanks to Stephen Kellott, Ben Cobb, David Cole and Mike Cooper for sending it on to us. Here's how it starts. On the day after his confirmation as chief executive of the U.S. Agency for Global Media, in June 2020, Michael Pack met with a career employee to discuss which senior leaders at the agency and the VOA should be forced out due to their perceived political beliefs. the employee had written about one in a memo, hates Republicans, openly despises Trump and Republicans, they said of another, and is not on the Trump team. The list went on. Firing someone over political affiliation is typically a violation of federal civil service law. Within 2 days, PAC was examining ways to remove suspect staffers. A new federal investigation found. The executives he sidelined were later reinstated and exonerated by the Inspector General's Office of the U.S. State Department. PAC ultimately turned his attention to agency executives, network chiefs, and journalists themselves. The report sent to the White House and congressional leaders earlier this month found that the Trump appointee repeatedly abused the powers of his office, broke laws and regulations, and engaged in gross mismanagement. It's a 145-page report, and we have a link to it in the World of Radio group. The world, of course, is far too complex to utter. DX ace and former VOA correspondent Dan Robinson had been backing PAC's actions. I think he felt that VOA and USAGM had a much-needed house cleaning, as explained in BBG Watch. Mike Cooper, however, notes, the two 2020 BBG Watch stories authored by Mr. Robinson, entitled USAGM Deep State Goes Full Tilt, Targeting PAC and Trump, appear to have been removed from the site in recent months. In one of those, under the subheading, PAC, a target of worst media attacks against any new agency head in decades. Another former VOA staffer, Kim Elliott, replies, the report admonished PAC, but it also documented what damage a future politically appointed CEO of the USAGM could do. This could not happen under the old bipartisan broadcasting board of governors, which selected the heads of the BBG entities. When new presidents came to power, the entity heads stayed. About World of Radio Monitoring on WRMI, the new broadcast Sunday at 1330 UT on 9955 I have confirmed. However, the expected additional frequency UT Saturday at 0130, 7730 is not confirmed. That's one of our first broadcasts about 24 hours after production, but it remains only on 5850, which is a very good frequency aimed across America. It seems that the reactivated 7730 transmitter of WRMI is not always on the air, although low-powered. There are times when we've not been able to hear it at all, but it might be due to degraded propagation. Another very good WRMI frequency, for those of us in mid-America at least, is 7570. On the same beam northwest as 5850. Unfortunately, it's almost all Brother Scare, which I abbreviate TOMBS, the Overcomer Ministry Brother Scare. 7570 does, however, carry Kim Elliott's shortwave radiogram at 23 UT. On Saturdays, Kim forwards some screen captures of the interference on 7570 during the shortwave radiogram broadcast. He looked at it via an SDR in Michigan, the WRMI carrier faintly visible. The interference is usually worst via Michigan receivers, suggesting the Ontario HF trading station, if that's what it is, using an NVIS antenna, that is, vertical incidence, for close-in coverage. And from an SDR in Maryland, a view of a calla lily petal was transmitted in MSSK-64 when the interference kicked in. Interestingly, the interference ended precisely at 2330 UT, just when shortwave radiogram ended. The interference was minimal via a remote in Georgia, says Kim Elliott. Terry Kogan of Texas Radio Shortwave points out that their broadcast Sunday, May 28th at 01 UT on 5950 and at 12 UT on 15770 WRMI has a shout-out to the Swedish DX Federation DX Parliament. That is during an hour of Austin City Limits TV performances by Texas musicians. There will be an MFSK-64 image of the SDXL logo at the program's end. And he says our regular MayQSL will have an endorsement for the event and might look nice to a collector. If you monitor with BFO on, you'll find the WINB Pennsylvania frequency. 9265 is unsteady. But May 19th at 0459, there was muffled modulation and the carrier was horribly shaky, worse than usual, with rapid clunking. And then into Tombs, which is incomparably better than 9395 WRMI. It sounds like WINB is about to collapse, but this has been on the precipice for years. I can't help but wonder how this affects all their hybrid DRM broadcasts later, if it's the same transmitter. This is totally unclear. They supposedly have one 50-kilowatt and one 15-kilowatt transmitter. Yet DRM and AM are never on the air at the same time. The strength of DRM seemed like more than 15. In fact, they registered with the HFCC as 50 kilowatts. Another co-celebra has been plans announced by a number of major automakers to delete AM radio from their new cars. However, on May 23rd, Ben Cobb forwards a notice from the Energy and Commerce Committee of the House of Representatives that there would be a hearing in early June on the importance of AM radio installation in new cars. John Filiozzi replies, "This is all a very late intervention. Where were all the AM radio boosters when manufacturers were putting out a passel of bad radios? Where were they when every maker of every conceivable product was putting increasing levels of RF into the environment, to the point that 50 kilowatt flamethrowers can't be heard in your home or car? Every cold shoulder and bad decision told these car makers that nobody cared about AM radio anymore. Now they do. Sounds to me like this is all for show. They may put AM back in cars, but the radios won't be any better. The AM band will be just mostly a useless appendage in car media centers, like it is now. But cue the hearings. They'll be great theater," says John Filiozzi. Guess what? By May 23rd, the Washington Post reports, via Mike Cooper, "Ford will include AM radio in 2024 models, reversing a decision." Ford's about-face came after news reports focused attention on the elimination of the nation's 4,700 AM stations from vehicles produced by 8 manufacturers and after a bipartisan coalition of lawmakers joined in support of a bill that would require cars to include AM radios. Opposition to removal of AM came from many quarters. Radio station owners feared that the loss of AM in cars would devastate their business, since at least half of all AM listening takes place on the road. Some Republicans accused the auto industry of taking aim against conservatives, since political talk is one of the largest formats among AM stations, and 8 of the top 10 talk shows are conservative in ideology. And some Democrats joined the battle to retain AM in cars because the nation's emergency alert system is built around AM stations, which generally have much stronger signals than FM radio can support. Someone suggested that even if new cars don't have AM radios, they could be installed optionally aftermarket. John Filiozzi replies, "The problem is that given sophistication of media devices in cars today, the cost of retrofitting the devices the car maker provides, either as standard or premium equipment, likely will be higher than most are willing to pay. And that retrofit might require additional work, such as shielding, to get it to work compatibly with the car's other systems. The fear is that almost no one will do this. Just like almost no one went to the trouble of adding shortwave capability to their car radios." The third harmonic of Radio Vanuatu 11835 after 08UT makes it even to eastern North America. Marshall Reel in Damascus, Maryland reports, "I heard this, presumed with a weak signal noise and fading, near Washington, D.C., barely but definitely audible, with characteristic island music and national anthem. It suddenly switched May 21st to 3945 at 0759, but heard on 11835 in the middle of a song. It signed off at 1059 with the national anthem. The propagation outlook from SWPC. ANKNSE is peaking at 16 and 4 on June 2nd, with active geomagnetic conditions, otherwise mostly 5 and 2 before and after that date. Solar fluctuating up and down between 150 and 165 through June 17th. Thus concludes World of Radio 2192, with many thanks to all our stations and contributors. Glenn Hauser here, inviting you to hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.